You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's readings, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 103. We will continue reading from Volume 2. We will pick up from the section from the close of the first task to the conversion of the Samaritan woman at the well. Today we will begin reading number 12, Jesus at Jacob's Well near Sychar, Dinah the Samaritan. On the following day, Jesus crossed the little river, and leaving Mount Gerizim to the right, approached Sychar. Andrew, James the Greater, and Saturnin accompanied him, the others having scattered in different directions. Jesus went to the well of Jacob, on a little hill in the inheritance of Joseph, to the north of Mount Gerizim and south of Mount Ebal. Sychar lay about a quarter of an hour to the west in a valley which ran along the west side of the city for about an hour. About 2 good hours northward from Sychar stood the city of Samaria upon a mountain. Several deeply rutted roads ran from different points around the little hill and up to the octangular buildings that enclosed Jacob's well, which was surrounded by trees and grassy seats. The spring house was encircled by an open arched gallery under which about 20 people could find standing room. Directly opposite the road that led from Sychar and under the arched roof was the door, usually kept shut, that opened into the spring house proper. There was an aperture in the cover of the latter, which could be closed at pleasure. The interior of the little spring house was quite roomy. The well was deep and surrounded by a stone rim, high enough to afford a seat. Between it and the walls, one could walk around freely. The well had a wooden cover, which, when opened, disclosed a large cylinder just opposite the entrance and lying across the well. On it hung the bucket, which was unwound by means of a winch. Opposite the door was a pump for raising the water to the top of the wall of the spring house, whence it flowed out to the east, south, and west, under the surrounding arches, into 3 little basins dug in the earth. They were intended for travelers to perform their ablutions and wash their feet, also for watering beasts of burden. It was toward midday when Jesus and the 3 disciples reached the hill. Jesus sent them on to Sychar to procure food, for he was hungry, while he himself ascended the hill alone to await them. The day was hot, and Jesus was very tired and thirsty. He sat down a short distance from the well on the side of the path that led up from Sychar. Resting his head upon his hand, he seemed to be patiently waiting for someone to open the well and give him to drink. And now I saw a Samaritan woman of about 30 years, a leathern bottle hanging on her arm, coming up the hill from Sychar to draw water. She was beautiful, and I remarked how briskly and vigorously, and with what long strides she mounted the hill. Her costume appeared somewhat studied, and there was an air of distinction about it. Her dress was striped blue and red, embroidered with large yellow flowers. The sleeves above and below the elbow were fastened by yellow bracelets and were ruffled at the wrist. She wore a white stomacher ornamented with yellow cords. Her neck was entirely concealed by a yellow woolen collar, thickly covered with strings of pearl and coral. Her veil, very fine and long, was woven of some rich woolen material. It hung down her back, but by means of a string could be drawn together and fastened around her waist. When thus worn, it formed a point behind, and on either side folds in which the elbows could comfortably rest. When both sides of the veil were fastened on the breast, the whole of the upper part of her person was enveloped, as if in a mantle. Her head was bound with fillets that entirely concealed the hair. From her headdress, there arose above the forehead something like a little tower of a crown. Tucked up behind it lay the forepart of the veil, which, when let down over her face, reached to the breast. She had her large brownish goat or camel hair apron with its open pockets thrown up over her right arm, so that the leather bottle hanging on that arm was partly concealed. This apron was similar to those usually worn at such work as drawing water. It protected the dress from the bucket and water bottle. The bottle was of leather and like a seamless sack. It was convex on two sides, as if lined with a firm, arched wooden surface. But the two others, when the bottle was empty, lay together in folds like those of a pocketbook. On the two firm sides were leather-covered handles, through which ran a leather strap used for carrying it on the arm. The mouth of the bottle was narrow. It could be opened like a funnel for receiving the contents, and closed again like a work pouch. When empty, the bottle hung flat on the side, but when filled, it bulged out, holding as much as an ordinary water bucket. It was under this guise that I saw the women briskly ascending the hill to get water from Jacob's well for herself and others. I took a fancy to her right away. She was so kind, so frank, so open-hearted. She was called Dinah, was the child of a mixed marriage, and belonged to the sect of Samaritans. There's a footnote. In the Roman Martyrology, she is called Fotina. She lived in Sychar, but it was not her birthplace. Her peculiar circumstances were unknown to the inhabitants, among whom she went by the name of Salome. Both she and her husband were very much liked on account of their open, friendly, and obliging manners. The windings of the path by which she mounted the hill prevented Dinah's seeing the Lord until she actually stood before him. There was something startling in the sight as he sat there exhausted and all alone on the path leading to Jacob's well. He wore a long white robe of fine wool, like an alb, bound with a broad girdle. It was a garment such as the prophets wore, and which the disciples usually carried for him. He made use of it only on solemn occasions, when he preached or fulfilled some prophecy. Dinah, coming then suddenly upon Jesus, was startled. She lowered her veil and hesitated to advance, for the Lord was sitting full in her path. I saw passing through her mind the characteristic thoughts. A man? What is he doing here? Is it a temptation? She saw that Jesus was a Jew, as beaming with benevolence. He graciously drew his feet back, for the path was narrow, with the words, "Pass on and give me to drink." These words touched the woman. Since the Jews and the Samaritans were accustomed to exchange only glances of natural aversion, and so she still lingered, saying, Why art thou here all alone at this hour? If any one should happen to see me here with thee, he would be scandalized. To which Jesus answered that his companions had gone on to the city to purchase food. Dinah said, Indeed, the three men whom I met, but they will find little at this hour. What the Sycamites have prepared for today they need for themselves. She spoke as if it were either a feast or a fast that day in Sychar, and named another place to which they should have gone for food. But Jesus again said, Pass on, and give me to drink. Then Dinah passed by him, and Jesus arose and followed her to the well, which she unlocked. While going thither, she said, How canst thou, be a Jew, ask a drink from a Samaritan? And Jesus answered her, If thou didst know the gift of God and who he is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst perhaps have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Then Dinah loosened the cover and the bucket, meanwhile saying to Jesus, who had seated himself on the rim of the well, Sir, thou hast nothing wherein to draw, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? As she uttered these words, I had a vision of Jacob's digging the well and the waters springing up. The woman understood Jesus' words to refer to the water of this well, and so as she was speaking, she put the bucket on the cylinder, which turned heavily toward it, lowered it, and drew it up again. She pushed her sleeves with the bracelets until they puffed out high above the elbow, and in this way, with bare arms, she filled her leather bottle out of the bucket. Then, taking a little vessel made of bark and shaped like a horn, she filled it with water and handed it to Jesus, who, sitting on the rim of the well, drank it and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but he that shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall not thirst forever. Yes, the water that I will give him shall become in him a fountain of water, springing into life everlasting. Dinah replied eagerly, Sir, give me that living water, that I may no more thirst, nor have to come with so much fatigue to draw. She was struck by his words, living water, and had a presentiment, though without being fully conscious of it, that Jesus meant by the living water the fulfillment of the promise. And so it was under prophetic inspiration that she uttered her heartfelt prayer for that living water. I have always felt and understood that those persons with whom the Redeemer treated are not to be considered as mere individuals. They perfectly represented a whole race of people, and they did so because they belonged to the plenitude of time. And so in Dinah, the Samaritan, there stood before the Redeemer the whole Samaritan sect, so long separated from the true faith of Israel, from the fountain of living water. Jesus, at the well of Jacob, thirsted after the chosen souls of Samaria, in order to refresh them with the living waters with which they had cut themselves off. It was that portion of the rebellious sect still open to salvation that here thirsted after this living water, and in a certain way reached out an open hand to receive it. Samaria spoke through Dinah, Give me, O Lord, the blessing of the promise. Help me to obtain the living water from which I may receive more consolation than from this temporal well of Jacob, through which alone we still have communication with the Jews. When Dinah had thus spoken, Jesus said to her, Go home, call thy husband, and come back hither. And I heard him give the command twice, because it was not to instruct her alone that he had come. In this command, the Redeemer addressed the whole sect, Samaria, call hither him to whom thou belongest him, who by a holy contract is lawfully bound to thee. Dinah replied to the Lord, I have no husband. Samaria confessed to the bridegroom of souls that she had no contract, that she belonged to no one. Jesus replied, Thou hast said well, for thou hast had five husbands, and he with whom thou now livest is not thy husband. Thou hast spoken truly. In these words, the Messiah said to the sect, Samaria, thou speakest the truth. Thou hast been espoused to the idols of five different nations, and thy present alliance with God is no contract. Here Dinah, lowering her eyes and hanging her head, answered, Sir, I see that thou art a prophet. And she drew down her veil. The Samaritan sect recognized the divine mission of the Lord and confessed its own guilt. As if Dinah understood the prophetic meaning of Jesus' words, and he with whom thou livest is not thy husband. That is, thy actual connection with the true God is imperfect and illegal. The religion of the Samaritans has, by sin and self-will, been separated from God's covenant with Jacob. As if she felt the deep significance of these words, she pointed toward the south, to the temple not far off on Mount Gerizim, and said questioningly, Our fathers adored on that mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is the place where men must adore. Jesus replied with the words, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in Gerizim nor in Jerusalem wilt thou adore the Father. In this reply, he meant to say, Samaria, the hour cometh when neither here nor in the sanctuary of the temple will God be adored, because he walks in the midst of you. And he continued, You adore that which you know not, but we adore that which we know, for salvation is of the Jews. Here he related to her a similitude of the wild, unfruitful suckers of trees, which shoot forth into wood and foliage, but produce no fruit. It was as if he had said to the sect, Samaria, thou hast not security in thy worship. Thou hast no union, no sacrament, no pledge of alliance, no ark of the covenant, no fruit. The Jews, from whom the Messiah will be born, have all these things, the promise and its fulfillment. And again, Jesus said, But the hour cometh, and now is when the true adorers will adore the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father wills such to adore him. God is a spirit, and they that adore him must adore him in spirit and in truth. By these words, the Redeemer meant Samaria, the hour cometh, yea, it now is, when the Father by true adorers will be honored in the Holy Ghost, and in the Son, who is the way and the truth. Dinah replied, I know that the Messiah cometh. When he is come, he will tell us all things. In these words, here at the well of Jacob, spoke that portion of the Samaritan sect, which might lay some legitimate claim to the promise. I hope for, I believe in the coming of the Messiah. He will help us. Jesus responded, I am he, I who now speak to thee. By this he said to all Samaria that would be converted, Samaria, I came to Jacob's well athirst for thee, thou water of this well. And when thou didst give me to drink, I promised thee living water that would never let thee thirst again. And thou didst, hoping and believing, make known to me thy longing for this water. Behold, I reward thee, for thou hast allayed my thirst after thee by thy desire after me. Samaria, I am the fountain of living water. I, who now speak to thee, am the Messiah. As Jesus pronounced the words, I am the Messiah, Dinah, trembling with holy joy, gazed at him in amazement. But suddenly, recovering herself, she turned, and leaving her water bottle standing and the well open, she fled down the hill to Sychar to tell her husband and all whom she met what had happened to her. It was strictly forbidden to leave the well of Jacob open, but what called Dinah now for the well of Jacob? What cared she for her bucket of earthly water? She had received the living water, and her loving, joyous heart was longing to pour its refreshing streams over all the neighbors. But as she was hurrying out of the spring house, she ran past the three disciples who had come with the food and had already been standing for some time at a little distance from the door, wondering what their master could have to say for so long with a Samaritan woman. But through reverence for him, they forbore to question. Dinah ran down to Sychar and with great eagerness said to her husband and the others whom she met on the street, Come up to Jacob's well. There you will see a man that has told me all the secret actions of my life. Come, He is certainly the Christ. This concludes our reading for today. We will pick up tomorrow as we are finishing mid-chapter. But now we reflect on what we have listened to, what we have just read. This was actually, in my opinion, I think one of the more profound readings from Anne Catherine Emmerich that we've had in these 103 days. Sure, I enjoyed many of the other readings, yes, don't get me wrong. But what I really liked about this reading here is that it made this gospel passage from St. John, and maybe what you want to do is you want to go back to your scriptures and you want to read the woman at the well, read the scriptural account, and then we've already read half of this reading, and then we'll get the other half tomorrow. But it really made it more vivid for me to have the description of the woman as she's walking up to the well, to have her engage in casual conversation with Jesus about the three disciples going to get food in the village. It just made it much more real to me that the imagination that I have to apply to the scriptures to see it play out really occurred through the writing of Anne Catherine Emmerich. It enriched my experience of the woman at the well. I thought it was interesting to note that Jesus sends these disciples away because he was hungry. I think a lot of times we think about Jesus and maybe we don't think about those earthly needs that he, as a divine person with a human nature and a divine nature, had. That as he lived his life on earth, he hungered at times, sent his disciples away. Could it have been that the hunger was just an excuse to send the disciples away so that he could have this personal conversation with the Samaritan woman? I'm not sure. Possibly, huh? But it says he was hungry and he was waiting for them. I thought it, too, was interesting, kind of the dress of the Samaritan woman as Anne Catherine Emmerich describes it. Her costume appeared somewhat studied, and there was an air of distinction about it. Her dress was striped blue and red embroidered with large yellow flowers. I thought the word embroidered was interesting. Of course, I'm thinking of embroidery in our contemporary age. Maybe in that age, it was a little different than what I would be picturing, but I thought, oh, how technologically advanced they were to embroider. But just getting that little description, you can see this woman coming to the well. We also heard how she, you know, was caught off guard by the presence of Jesus. She wasn't expecting the Lord to be there. Also, too, notice that Anne Catherine Emmerich calls her Dina or Dina. In the Roman Martyrology, the footnote said she is called Fotina, and I know that's the case in the Eastern Church. So just, you wonder why it is, you know, these little nuanced differences. The windings of the path by which she mounted the hill prevented Dinah's seeing the Lord until she actually stood before him. There was something startling in the sight as he sat there exhausted and all alone on the path. So Jesus is there. She's surprised the Lord is there. Now, take this in a spiritual sense for us. Sometimes in our life, as we're going about our day-to-day business or as we're doing whatever it is, maybe sometimes we're startled because we sense that Christ is with us. But should we really be startled at all that the Lord God is with us, that he has not abandoned us, that he walks with us on this journey of life? Have you been startled by the presence of the Lord? Dinah, coming thus suddenly upon Jesus, was startled. So yes, again, that notion of being startled. The Lord is there. I'm surprised that the Lord is there. She doesn't know it's the Lord yet. But by the end of our reading today, she knows it's the Lord. She proclaims him to be the Christ. Jesus invites her, pass on and give me to drink. Says it a few times to her, pass on and give me to drink. Just a simple invitation from the Lord. And we think in our own life, what does the Lord invite us to? I thought too, it was interesting. I don't know what a better word would be, but it was interesting to me that here you have Anne, Catherine, and Rick having this vision of the woman at the well with Jesus. And then she has a vision within the vision because she says, I had a vision of Jacob's digging the well and the water springing up. And so how Jacob's well became Jacob's well, she sees in this vision as she's in the vision of the Samaritan woman. Here's a powerful line from the reading today. Jesus at the well of Jacob thirsted after the chosen souls of Samaria in order to refresh them with the living waters from which they had cut themselves off. Jesus thirsted. This is what he says on the cross. We have that phrase of Mother Teresa commenting on Jesus's thirst. It's his thirst for souls and his thirst for the salvation of others. And then, kind of in this explanation, we know that this woman has multiple husbands, as Jesus says. But then there's kind of this allusion, this comparison, that just as you have had many husbands, well, this parallels the state of Samaria and their false gods and so forth and so on. So we kind of get a parallel between the two. And then finally, I just want to leave you with these words in the last paragraph we read. She had received the living water, and her loving, joyous heart was longing to pour its refreshing streams over all her neighbors. That the grace of God flooded her soul, and now she wants to flood that grace to other people. God's grace, while meant for you, is also meant to be shared and witnessed. This is exactly what this woman sets out to do as she runs down back into Sychar and to share that she has met a man that has told her all the secret actions of her life. If you want to sit with something in prayer today, sit not only with the joy of this woman, but maybe think about the secret actions of your life that you've tried to hide from God and realize that Jesus knows them. And in a conversation with you, as he had with the woman at the well, he might call you out too, calling you to conversion, flooding your heart with grace so that you could pour those streams out to your friends and family. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.